You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Come out of the world, oh my people, seek the truth, avoid the evil, learn Yahweh's ways. Torah life, ministries, come out of the world.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nissan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Nissan with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for joining me today and listening to the message. And today's message is going to be about a feast that's about to come up. That's a biblical feast. And also want to say Happy New Year to everyone that's listening. And you might be saying, as a Christian or even as a Jewish person, what do you mean Happy New Year? And well, according to the Bible, it is a new year. And we are to follow in the words of our Creator of what He says and how to do it and what to do and when to do it. See, a lot of people miss the when part. And He's given us a calendar. You see, the Bible is a great book of information of how we are to live our lives and our Creator's will for us. But it's also a calendar. And on this calendar, it has, just like you buy any calendar in the store, it has dates on it. It has dates of when certain holidays are and when certain things are. And our Creator's calendar is something that has been gotten away from by people. But His words describe each day. So just like in a regular calendar, it might say in the bottom what this day actually means or represents. Well, that's what the Bible is. It's a calendar that talks about appointed feast times of our Creator and talks about what each of these events are. And so we start off by saying Happy New Year to everybody, and because it is the New Year. And as it says in Exodus 12:2, it says, on this month, it will be the first month of the first year for you. And it's talking about the month of Nisan, the first of the month. So that's April. So it's usually sometime in the spring, the end of March or the beginning of April is the new year according to the Bible. And so that's what the new year is. Now, there's another discussion of, well, isn't, how come everybody say during like Rosh Hashanah and Happy New Year, whatever? Well, there's other stories and ideas behind that, but according to the Bible, my Bible says in Exodus 12:2, from now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. And we have another translation here as well that says, this month shall be the head of months for you. It shall be the first of the months of the year for you. So it is the beginning of that new biblical year. So Happy New Year. And a lot of Christians listening might say, well, I'm not following that. Well, you're not following the Bible. And it's not anything special we have to do for the first of the new year just to acknowledge that our Creator has a calendar. But there's a day coming after, you know, several weeks now that we do have something to do about. And that is the Feast of Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so as a Christian, yes, I understand for the new year, the biblical new year, okay, it's New Year's, but we're not commanded to do anything special in the New Year's, no. Now, if you look back in the history of this day, a lot of great things happened on this day, but, you know, we're not supposed to do anything special on this day. You know, we're not commanded to. But Passover, on the other hand, we are commanded to keep as believers. And this is something many people in the Christian church have often missed, is the biblical feast days of our wonderful Creator that He commanded us to do throughout all the generations that nowhere in the New Testament says was done away with. You know, we got these stickers out that say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, we look at what He did. He kept the Passover, and we see that, and the question should be that not, the question from a Christian shouldn't be, why should we keep the Passover? The question should be, why aren't you attempting to observe the Passover and the other biblical feast days that our Creator gave us? And that's a question that most Christians won't be able to answer, except saying something like, well, the old covenant is done away with. And I will submit to you that is ludicrous thinking, because if you take away the Old Covenant, you're taking away, what, 80% of the Bible? And then you'd be replacing it. So the New Testament, what it is pointing people towards how to live according to the Old Testament. You see, the guidelines and the laws and the commandments didn't change, just a place where they were supposed to be changed. Our Creator says, I no longer wish for it to be on paper. I wish it to be on people's hearts. And one day it will be, but it's not there yet. And the Old Testament is still our schoolmaster, and we need to learn. We need to know. If you do not know what sin is, how could you avoid sin? So we have to know, and we certainly don't want to go off our own feelings because our hearts are evil, folks. You know, our flesh and spirit have a battle, and the flesh is weak. So we need a guide, and that is the Bible. And so I want to direct your attention to 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians 5, Paul condemns the spiritual pride, and it starts off with verse 1. I can hardly believe the report about sexual immorality going on among you, something so evil that even pagans don't do it. I am told that you have a man in your church who is living in sin with his father's wife. Verse 2, and you are so proud of yourselves. Why aren't you mourning in sorrow and shame? And why haven't you removed this man from your fellowship? See, now, right here, sorrow and shame. See, that's the thing. We don't fear our Creator anymore. If we feared our Creator, we would fear sin. You know, if there's somebody with a disease among you that's contagious, you're running away from that person and hiding yourself from that person. But when somebody has sin, you're not condemning him. You're just accepting him as normal. Something. No, it says, verse 2, and you are so proud of yourselves. Why aren't you mourning in sorrow and shame? And why haven't you removed this man from your fellowship? Even though I am not there with you in person, I am with you in spirit. Concerning the one who has done this, I have already passed judgment. Verse 4, in the name of Yahweh and Messiah Yeshua, you are to call a meeting of the church, and I will be there in spirit. And the power of Yeshua Messiah will be with you as you meet. Verse 5, then you must cast this man out of the church into Satan's hands, so that his sinful nature will be destroyed, and he himself will be saved when Yahweh returns. Verse 6, how terrible that you should boast about your spirituality and yet let this sort of thing go on. Don't you realize that even if one person is allowed to go on sinning, soon everyone will be affected, or all will be affected? So now we go down to verse 7, and here's what I want you guys to focus on. Verse 7, it says, remove this wicked person from among you, that you can stay pure. Yeshua Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the festival, not by eating old bread of wickedness and evil, but by eating the new bread of purity and truth. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin, or who are greedy, or swindlers, or idol worshippers. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. What I meant was that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a Christian, who claims to be a brother, who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worship idols, or is abusive, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Don't even eat with such a person. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your job to judge those inside the congregation who are sinning in these ways. Yahweh will judge those outside, but the scriptures say you must remove the evil from the person among you. Folks, I said again, we have to judge people, not to knock them down, but to lift them up. And there's a lot of sinful things going on within the congregation. And the Feast of Passover is coming up. And this is something that we need to consider, because it is considered sin to go against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That's what sin is, according to His Word. It says sin is transgression of the law. And part of His law is to keep this holy feast. So what am I to say to all my deceived Christian brothers out there who think that this is done away with and we no longer need to keep this, and even worse, celebrate Christmas and Easter, two of the most biggest pagan holidays, but yet do not keep these important feast days? Well, Paul just said it quite clearly. You know, these people must repent, or they must be excommunicated, one or the other. Well, James 4:17 says to know good and not do it to him it is sin. So if we don't know we're doing something bad, we don't know, what can we do? But when we find out, we have a choice. Today I give before you life or death. Choose life so you may live. So first I want to make it clear that nobody can keep Passover. Nobody can do Passover exactly according to the way the instructions as the Bible says. Because the temple is no longer there, and the temple is a big part of it, and the sacrifices are a big part of the Passover. We're not going to the temple in Israel. Many of us are home in our own houses. And it also commands us to be circumcised as men if we want to celebrate the Passover or partake in the Passover. But we have to remember we're not partaking in it, so we're celebrating it, remember it, and we're preparing for it. It's like a rehearsal. And it's sacrifice, circumcision of the heart that is required for this rehearsal. And not necessarily of the flesh, but of the heart. Yes, in the scriptures it says of the flesh. And I will submit to you if there was a temple. And if we were doing it exactly the way we were told and we had the opportunity to do so, well, then we'd have to fulfill all those things. But for now, in the practice of it, we need to be circumcised of the heart. And as Paul said, unless you're circumcised of the heart, nothing else matters. And that includes circumcision of the flesh. So the Passover is coming up, and it says in Exodus 2:14, and the day shall be a memorial for you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to Yahweh. For all your generations, you shall celebrate it as a law forever. So how in the world can a Christian say, well, that's not for me? It just said, folks, this is from the Bible. It says it shall be a memorial for you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast forever for all your generations. Exodus 2:16 says, and on the first day it shall be a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly shall be it to you. That's Exodus 2:16. Well, the Hebrew word for holy assembly is mikraw. The holy days tell the plan of salvation through the redemption of the blood of Yeshua. And each time the true believers celebrate these commanded days, each yearly cycle they are rehearsing for the soon coming kingdom. Yeshua. So you understand we're preparing for it. The holy days are appointed times for appointed people, for holy people, set apart people, for all set apart believers. Now I know a lot of believers will tell me, well, that's just for Israel. That's not for me, and I'm not Israel. So the question now becomes, well, who is Israel? And this is a serious thing where many Christians are mistaken. Israel are those that claim Yeshua as Messiah. You've now become part of the commonwealth of Israel. And you must do as Israel was commanded. When the people in Egypt decided to leave Egypt, and they came out of Egypt, and now they were mingling with the Israelites, they were responsible for keeping the same rules and guidelines as the Israelites did. There wasn't a separate law for the non-born Hebrew people. So you become part of the commonwealth of Israel. So 1 Peter 1:18-20 says, for you know that Yahweh paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Yeshua, the sinless, spotless lamb of our Creator. Yahweh chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now relieved him to you in these last days. He has now revealed him to you in these last days. So, understanding what the Passover is and the significance of this, and whether you think the end times are upon us or not, we do know that rehearsals and practice makes perfect, and we want to do the best job we can do. So the instructions for the Passover and how to do it or what to do or to come to the principle of Passover is found in Exodus 12:1 to Exodus 13:14. So wherever you're listening to this right now, when you get an opportunity, jot that down, Exodus 12:1 to 13:14. And many Christians have never even turned into the Old Testament thinking it's not a book for them, but you couldn't be more wrong. It is a book for you, and you need to read that and understand why these instructions were given. And our Creator gave it to us as an observance, and it should take place every single year. And it says in the scriptures, do not add or take away, but keep. But keep his commandments. I want you guys to, that's Deuteronomy 4:2. I want you guys to highlight and underline the word keep. Do not add or take away, but keep his commandments. It says in the scriptures, and that, it says, the grass withers and the flower fades. The word of Yahweh remains forever. 1 Peter 1:24-125. You understand the guidelines and instructions of our Creator forever, and that's why when it says for Passover, throughout all your generations, you must keep them. Well, we see how they did keep it in during the biblical times. They are to keep a lamb among them from 3.5 years. It must be unblemished. And it is to be killed at twilight on the 14th of Nisan, which is on the 14th of the first month. And they were to pour blood into the basin built into the threshold. So it gives all the instructions in the scriptures. They were to make roast the lamb and eat the flesh. It couldn't be raw. When they ate it, they had to be at the time when it was given. They had to be ready to move fast because they were, they had to eat it real quickly and they had to get moving. And when the blood was put on the house, it would pass. The judgment of our Creator would pass over that house. And then from the 14th day until the 21st day, they would eat unleavened bread. And that's the real feast, folks. Passover is just one night. But it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the real feast that many Christians never even heard of. It's just in the Bible. I mean, we should be reading our Bible to question what these things are. So this is a holy day that believers ought to practice on a regular basis. It was the first day of a week, of the week long, what they call the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And speaking about and referring to the passing of Yahweh's judgment and their exodus out of Egypt when they had no leavened bread. They didn't have time to leaven the bread. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it says in Exodus 12:39, a mixed crowd also went up with them, as well as livestock in large numbers, both flocks and herds. They baked matzah loaves from dough they had brought out of Egypt, since it was unleavened, because they had been driven out of Egypt without time to prepare supplies for themselves. And also, it even mentioned in the Renewed Covenant. It says in the Renewed Covenant in Matthew 26:17, now on the first day of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yeshua saying, where do you want us to prepare you to eat the Passover? So we see that, and we have Original Covenant and Renewed Covenant answers for Passover and us keeping Passover and us knowing that we have to keep Passover. And as believers of Messiah who've accepted Yeshua, a wonderful Creator, this is something you should be partaking in. And we've already discussed it that there's no room for Christmas and Easter and Halloween and these other pagan holidays in our Creator's calendar. You wouldn't write on a Creator's calendar all this crazy stuff. I mean, if you have your calendar written out and it has your children's birthdays on it, your birthday, it has whatever special, your anniversary on there and everything else. So this is your personal calendar. And then you find out a sex offender moves next door to you who's committed murder and he's gay. You wouldn't knock on his door and ask him when his birthday was and then write that on your calendar. No, you'd avoid that. And if he was having a party next door, you wouldn't go over there with your children and start celebrating with him. You would avoid that. You know, and if it was on your anniversary, you'd go out with your spouse and maybe your children. You wouldn't forget about your spouse and go next door and start messing around with some party or with all these heathens. Well, that's exactly what we do when we avoid and we ignore the Passover and the other biblical feast of our Creator. But instead, we go and hang out with the pagan rituals and the pagan holidays. And we think there's going to be no consequences, which the scriptures are clear about these consequences. And many of us aren't getting our prayers heard. And it says in the Bible, you know, our Creator detests the prayers of the wicked, but he seeks for the and loves the prayers of the righteous. Well, righteous, if you break that word down, it means right, living right. And according to the scriptures, a sin is transgression of the law. But the church says the law is done away with. So now we got a situation, we got a problem here. What do we do as Christians? What do you do with this information? Because the few Christians I know, actually's eyes have been open and they start keeping or celebrating and observing the holy biblical feast days, many of them get kicked out of the community of their church. You see, the Bible's telling us to kick out the unbeliever. Or not even the unbeliever, the so-called believer who's doing unbelievable things. The so-called believer that's living in a way that he shouldn't be living. The so-called believer that's committing sexual immorality. The so-called believer, the one that confesses Yeshua, that's living a life of sin. It says get them out of the community. But what does the world do? The world will take a church full of people who are living in sin, and then you find a couple of handful of set apart people who are trying to make things right, and they kick them out. And they separate themselves from the community. If you're one of those people, you have to think, well, I'm separating myself from them by choice, not by force. Because you don't want to be around these people, but the scriptures tell us not even to eat with these people. Not even to eat with these people. Now, hey, there's something for not knowing. To know good and not do it to him, it is sin. If you don't know, there's still consequences, but you're not as responsible. So my average Christian friend that doesn't know these things are wrong. They don't know these things are bad. Now they should, because they should be studying their Bible. They should be praying for our Creator to open their eyes. But let's just say they don't know. Okay, it is not my job to hang out with them and not tell them. I am to be their watchman. I am to judge people, to lift them up, not tear them down. So I need to let them know, well, this is what the Bible says. I'm happy to do a Bible study with you about it. Please pray about it. Please look at it. Then if they choose to keep doing the stuff they're doing, I am called in the scriptures not even to eat with them. So we need to it's not our idea or goal to change people's minds or wake people up. No, we need to show people the information, what is out there, and let them know what they decide to do with that information. So I'm calling you out to say, as Christians out there, that the Feast of Passover is coming up, which we're commanded to, at least the principle of it is to remember it, and the amazing thing that our Creator did by giving us His Son to set us free. And it's not only the yearly biblical feast appointments. You know, if you look at your calendar, every week there's a certain appointment on every single biblical calendar out there. There's a certain appointment that it's on the Sabbath, on Saturday, that we are to meet with Him. So if you know a famous doctor and you're sick and you got an appointment and it took you 6 months to get this appointment, and then finally you're ready to go to the appointment to see this doctor, knowing if you're going to miss this appointment, you got to wait a whole nother year to get this appointment again. That's how famous this doctor is. Well, you have a biblical feast that's coming up called Passover. And if you miss this, you got to wait a whole nother year. Actually, there's a second chance you can do it a following month later. But still, the point is, this is an important appointment. An important date according to our Creator. So important that He spoke about it more in the scriptures probably than any other appointed day. And for you to just ignore that is like saying, well, I've been waiting for this important appointment with this doctor, but I'm just going to ignore it. I'm not feeling better, but I'm going to ignore it. It just doesn't make sense that you would consider doing something like that. And it's only through the enemy deceiving you and keeping your eyes closed that you would even consider missing an appointment with our Creator. I mean, if you know without a doubt that you could have this special time and this great blessing and you pass that up, I mean, that's pure craziness. But that's how people think today, and much of it is through deception, and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters. I do not claim to know it all. I just know what the Bible is saying here, and I'm looking at it. And, you know, and those of you that are Christians and your eyes have been opened and you see now that we should be understanding the principle of Passover. It's not about getting it exact according to the fine, minute details. It's about understanding the principle of it. And the principle is our Creator gave us a calendar. Our Creator gave us these set apart pointed times for His set apart pointed people, and He wants us to observe them together. That's what He wants us to do. And there are a lot of more and more places around there that are doing it in their assemblies, and even to those places, you know, I'd have to ask them places, why would you be celebrating the Passover and not keeping the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath? That just makes no sense as well. Other than your eyes have not been opened because you're deceived by the enemy. So I say all this in love to help you all out as your watchmen. I don't want to tear you down. I want to lift you up. I want to help you see more. I want to help you feel better about these situations. And know that, you know, the Bible promises us, the Bible says, if you follow my guidelines and instructions, all will be well with you. If. You know, it all says in the Bible, you know, it says to be repentiveness equals refreshing. So you have to repent for refreshing, for not doing it. That could be all forgiven. But if you follow my guidelines and instructions, all will be well with you. How many of you do want all to be well with you? It didn't say something. It said all will be well with you. You know, you had King David, who people were coming after to kill him consistently. His own son was trying to come after and kill him. But you know what? It says that Yahweh takes my distress away because I trust in him. And he was able to sleep at night with comfort and peace. Cried out to our Creator every day, praying, praising, proclaiming, reading, repenting, and submitting. That's what we're called to do as believers. I'll say that again. Pray, praise, proclaim, read, and repent and submit. That's what we're called to do. And that's what, you know, on a daily basis, not just a once every season. So for you to say, I'm going to avoid this important feast day, this important day, but on the same hand, I'm going to go find the biggest pagan worship around, and I'm going to get up early on sunrise to go there and celebrate with a whole bunch of other people this pagan day. You do not have a problem with discipline. You have a problem with understanding and obedience to our Creator's word. That's what you have a problem with. You know, don't get me wrong, anyone. We're saved by the blood of Messiah. We're not saved through works, but we're blessed through works. And he says he wants to bless us. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live, so they can have life. And today I give before you life or death. Choose life so you may live. So thank you for listening. You can see more information and contact me through my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. And we have a local fellowship that meets every Sabbath. That's every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time in Lake Worth, Florida. If you want to join us, just contact me through the website or the phone number at the end of this teaching. And we will be doing Passover as well. And we're just getting the information out there every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time to midnight Eastern Time via my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and also my YouTube page, Torah Life Ministries. We have live fellowship to discuss these topics with people and really dig deep into the Word and just not stay on the surface so we can understand and we can be blessed and our eyes will be open. But more important, that we'd be fulfilling what our Creator told us to fulfill by not adding or taking away, but keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And I'm so blessed my eyes have been opened through some of this stuff. And I continually pray that our eyes all be open to things we have not yet seen before in His Word. And that we have an open heart to seek that. But please, folks, please get away from the pagan rituals and the customs. Learn the history about those things. And then start getting more closer to the biblical way of doing things. And understanding, as our Creator says, there is a more excellent way. And that excellent way is found in His Word, His guidelines and instructions, not found by man's traditions. So I encourage you all to read His Word, get into Exodus 12, read Exodus 12 and research it, check it up. And until then, everybody, have a blessed day and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world, oh my people, seek the truth, avoid the evil.
You've been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you'd like to learn more, please visit www.TorahLifeMinistries.org. Or you can contact Torah Life Ministries by phone at 561-283-1707. That's 561-283-1707.
Learn of Yahweh's ways. Torah Life Ministries, come out of the world. Gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain.